Welcome to Pastor to Pastor, a ministry podcast with Pastor Mike Stone of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. More information is available at PastorMikeStone.com. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is the first episode of a new podcast, so I want to take just a moment and let you know what we're going to be doing in the days ahead as we visit Pastor to Pastor. I've been blessed to serve for nearly 25 years at a wonderful congregation in Southeast Georgia. 19 of those years have been as the senior pastor. And even though I've served in various capacities in Southern Baptist life, including president of the state convention here in Georgia and chairman of the SBC Executive Committee, my highest calling in ministry, other than being a husband and a father, is being the pastor of a local Southern Baptist congregation. So this podcast, as the name suggests, is going to be a ministry podcast from my heart as a pastor and a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention. My plan is to produce two episodes a week, one at the first of the week and one toward the end of the week. Sometimes it will just be me, and at other times I'll be joined by another, a senior pastor. On Mondays, I plan to share resources to help pastors in the daily and weekly responsibilities of shepherding and leading your congregation. That will include sermon ideas, maybe even free sermon outlines, as well as general insight and commentary that I've gained from my experience pastoring a Southern Baptist church. On Thursdays, these episodes will address some of the many challenges and opportunities that I see facing our beloved Southern Baptist Convention. As many of you know, I will be nominated, Lord willing, for the presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention when we gather together this June in Nashville, Tennessee for our annual meeting. So on Thursdays, I want to take some time to talk about some of the issues that are before us in the Southern Baptist Convention. But again, at the first of the week, we want to just talk about pastoral ministry, and toward the end of the week, we'll share some things about our Southern Baptist Convention. Now, if there's an issue that you'd like for me to address, I encourage you to stop by my church website or the ministry website for contact information. I'll drop those links in the show notes, and I would absolutely love to hear from you. Well, it is the first of the week, so I want to talk about pastoral ministry for just a few minutes, and I want to begin by talking about what may well be the most important aspect of pastoral ministry, and that is the issue of evangelism. Now, we know that while the evangelist is a gift to the church, evangelism is not a gift. Evangelism is a command that was given by the Lord Jesus to every single believer. You find that throughout the four Gospels, Acts 1:8, throughout the New Testament. The call comes time and time again. As Paul told Timothy, we are to do the work of an evangelist. In a future episode, in fact later this week, I plan to address the decline in evangelistic fervor in the Southern Baptist Convention and what some of the things we can do and should be doing to help reverse that decline. But today I really want to keep it on the local church level and mention some things that a pastor can do to help the local church and its individual members be on personal evangelistic mission. For a little bit of backdrop, I serve in a small community of about 4,000 people. There are around 17,000 or 18,000 people in our county, and we're basically surrounded by counties of similar size. So we're in a very rural agricultural area, but God has blessed us with an average of over 60 baptisms per year over the 19 years of my pastorate. And I want to hasten to say that baptismal statistics are just that. It is just a number. But it does give you some indication of trends or directions in the life of a church or a convention of churches. But 60 baptisms a year over 19 years in my pastorate. And that's in a church that, quite frankly, is not at all given over to manipulation, pragmatism, or man-centered emotional methods when it comes to evangelism. And with all that as a backdrop, I want to just briefly mention three or four things that have been a blessing to us here at Emmanuel in the area of personal evangelism. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list, but just something to kind of get the conversation started. I want to begin with what may be one of the most important aspects of a church's evangelistic effort, and that is a salvation prayer list. Pastor, I want to ask you, does your church have any kind of specific list where you have written down or recorded the names of evangelistic prospects, individual men, women, and boys and girls for whom you are praying that they will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you have a salvation prayer list? Our church still has a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and we do a rather unusual thing in that prayer meeting. We pray. And we pray for all the normal things for which people would make prayer requests. We pray for people who are in the hospital or the nursing home, healing for the sick and those who have different infirmities. We pray for comfort for those who've lost loved ones or are going through various challenges in their life. We pray for job interviews and financial needs and for things going on with our children and with our aging parents. We take very seriously the invitation of Philippians 4 to be anxious over nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. But one of the things that we want to constantly and regularly and intentionally pray about is the salvation of our lost friends and loved ones. A salvation prayer list requires the people of God to get specific and intentional about who we are praying for to be saved. And I have to just confess to you that sometimes when the leader in prayer meeting asks who could be added to the salvation prayer list, the silence of God's people is itself a very silent but powerful rebuke that we don't have anyone on our heart that we need to add to the salvation prayer list. But this prayer list requires us to get specific and intentional about who we're praying will come to faith in Christ. Now, in order for us to add someone to the prayer list, this has to be somebody that we have personally engaged with a gospel witness. We don't want to just have some legalistic, pharisaical, judgmental list of people that we don't think could be saved because of something we see in their life. No, these are people that we have personally engaged with the gospel. We've invited them to believe upon Christ, and they have themselves rejected the gospel. So from their own mouth, they are not believers. They've not been born again. So with that, we have no problem putting their name on a specific and an intentional list. If you're in a Southern Baptist context, you may be familiar with the Hoosier One initiative, and many of our churches have displays with various names of lost people. Sometimes those names are written on a cross, maybe on a large poster, or on some type of display. In each and every case, the idea is that we have identified this is the specific person for whom I am praying. So, Pastor, let me ask you, do you have, personally, a list of one or two people for whom you are praying that they will come to know Christ? Do you have their names maybe in the notes app on your phone, or maybe even on an old-fashioned post-it note on the mirror in your bathroom, or maybe on some slip of paper on the corner of your desk? Pastor, do you have a specific salvation prayer list, and does your church have such a list? I think God would honor that if we will rend the heavens with prayers for specific people to be saved. So the first thing I would commend to you is a salvation prayer list, but then secondly is Christ-centered preaching. You know, one way to see more people come to Christ on a regular basis through our church ministries is to make sure that every single sermon is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is not some addendum to the sermon that gets tacked on as we move into the public invitation and call for the musicians to come and play Just As I Am, but rather, just like there's a scarlet thread of redemption that weaves its way through the Bible, there ought to be a scarlet thread that weaves its way through our preaching and pulpit ministry. This emphasis came to me, frankly, by way of conviction several years ago, maybe 4.5, 5 years ago. I'd preached what I thought was a pretty good message on Christian stewardship, on giving tithes and offerings. But, you know, as I look back over that sermon, I realized that the cross of Jesus was nowhere to be found in that message. And under deep conviction and intentionality, I made a poster with my computer. I just pulled a graphic of the cross, of the cross of Calvary. I just pulled it off the internet, and I made a little poster. And I put this question beside that picture of the cross. Here was the question: where is the cross? And I taped that poster on the back door of my office. This is the door that I'm looking at when I'm sitting in my office preparing sermons and when I leave my office to go out toward the sanctuary in order to deliver the message. And here's the question again: where is the cross? You know, on the Emmaus Road, the Lord clearly taught us that all Scripture was a testimony of Himself. And so Jesus ought to have the preeminence in all things, and that certainly ought to mean that Jesus ought to have the preeminence in each and every one of our sermons, regardless of what we would otherwise say the topic or the theme or the text is about. If all Scripture is a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, then every one of our sermons, if we are properly exegeting and applying that text, ought to point people to a skull-shaped mountain and a blood-stained cross where Jesus died for the sins of everyone that would believe. So I've tried to be very intentional to see how the text leads to the cross. And at some point in every sermon, and usually it's way before what we would call the public invitation, I will try to connect that text and that sermon to the big, broad, bold theme of the gospel, and in that very moment, invite men and women, boys and girls, to believe upon Christ. So we use Christ-centered preaching and a salvation prayer list. The third thing that has really blessed our evangelistic ministry here in this church is we try to preach and teach about soul winning. You know, Proverbs 11:30 says that he that wins souls is wise. And as a pastor, I want my congregation to have the wisdom of God. And that wisdom will manifest itself, according to Proverbs 11:30, with a wisdom that leads to winning souls. So several times a year, I preach about the importance of God's people being intentional in the area of evangelism. Pastor, we don't just see things happen in our church when we just put it on a list somewhere, but when we preach about it and prioritize it in our pulpit ministry, those are the things that God uses by His Spirit to capture the hearts and help bring about the sanctification and obedience of God's people. Now, in my pastorate, typically I take, at a minimum, the first Sunday of every year. It's after the New Year's weekend. I mean, depending on how the calendar falls, I want to wait on people to get back from Christmas and New Year's vacation. But on that first full weekend of the new year, I will preach what our church calls Soul Winning Commitment Sunday. And I will challenge the people to pray for God to do, in the words of the old hymn, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me." And then I'll challenge the congregation to make the commitment, "May I bravely do my part to win that soul for thee." And one of the things, by the way, I want to do on this Pastor to Pastor podcast is to provide sermon resources and sermon ideas for you. And so the resource I want to leave with you today, I'll drop it in the show notes, a link to it, is a sermon outline that I preached this past January on Soul Winning Commitment Sunday. It's taken from Romans 1, verses 14 through 16, where Paul makes three incredible "I am" statements. He says, "I am a debtor, I am ready, and I am not ashamed." I labeled that message, "Some Soul for Thee." And on my website at PastorMikeStone.com, you can find a video of that sermon. And Brother Pastor, if that resource can help you, I pray that you will take it and use it, make it your own, preach it, share it, challenge your congregation to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as pastors, we have a divine mandate to preach the whole counsel of God, and that includes, of course, training and teaching our people about the Great Commission. From time to time, I've encountered some people and even a few pastors who say, "Well, you know, our focus is on discipleship, not really evangelism." That may sound very good, and we should, of course, focus on a full, meaty, weighty approach to discipleship. But I remind you that Jesus said that if you will follow me, I will make you to be fishers of men. And the person who thinks they're going deep without going out isn't going out as deep as they think they're going. And brother, that's true for an individual, that's true for a church, and quite frankly, it's true for a convention of churches. So in our context here, we found great evangelistic benefit through a salvation prayer list, through Christ-centered preaching, and through preaching and teaching about soul winning itself. The last thing I'll mention today, and of course there could be many, many other items on this list, but I want to mention the importance of using vocational evangelists. Now, I've already mentioned that the Bible teaches that the evangelist is one of God's gifts to the church. And in our day, it may well be that's the least utilized of all the Lord's gifts. And perhaps you're like me, if you've been in the pastorate very long, you've been probably been burned, maybe even embarrassed by a guest speaker. There have been a few occasions where I've almost wanted to get on a microphone and call for a cleanup on aisle 12 because there was some pastoral cleanup to do after a special event. But nonetheless, I want to encourage you, don't let those potential bad experiences in the past keep you from using a God-called, God-ordained vocational evangelist. Of course, you want to do your research. Call some trusted friends. Find that vocational evangelist preaching schedule and go online to that church's website. Search for their videos on YouTube or follow the church's live stream service. And if a particular message blesses you, then don't be afraid to call that evangelist and ask them, would they agree to come and preach that specific sermon? If that's the sermon that God really used to put that evangelist on your mind, maybe that's a specific connection point that they would have with your congregation. So don't feel that it's unspiritual to call them and say, "Brother, I heard you preach this sermon out of this text at this particular church. Would you be willing to come and preach that at my congregation? Now, I do want to be clear. The power of God unto salvation is in the gospel itself, not in a guest speaker. And I don't personally believe that anybody has the, quote, gift of drawing the net, because I don't believe that any such biblical gift exists. But I've also found that, as a pastor, putting a date on a calendar with a special guest can help motivate my congregation to do on that Lord's Day what, honestly, we should have been doing every other Lord's Day. But sometimes just the emphasis on the calendar, the promotion, the planning, the prayer that goes into it is just it's just like a cattle prod in the right direction to get us back on track to invite people to our church, and more importantly, to invite them to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to drop the website for the Conference of Southern Baptist Evangelists down in the show notes, and I want to encourage you to stop by and check out some of those great ministries. You'll find not only the website there for that Conference of Evangelists, but individual websites can link you to some of these men and to their ministries. And if the Lord leads you, I would strongly encourage you to use these men in your church. Later this week, I want to talk about my vision for an evangelistic emphasis in the Southern Baptist Convention, because if the Lord wills for me to serve as the next SBC president, this would indeed be a hallmark of my ministry in that position. But until then, this is Pastor Mike Stone, and I hope you'll subscribe to this new podcast, share it with a friend, and make plans to join me each week as we just take some time and visit pastor to pastor.